Good morning and welcome to Crossroads of Rockland History. I'm Claire Sheridan from the Historical Society of Rockland County. And today we'll be learning all about the Haverstraw Quadricentennial Celebration. And I'll be joined by Supervisor Howard Phillips. And later in the show, we'll hear from Exhibition Curator Corinne McGeorge. The Historical Society of Rockland County is a nonprofit educational institution and principal repository for original documents and artifacts relating to Rockland County. Our headquarters are a four-acre site featuring a history museum and the 1832 Jacob Lawveld House, located at 20 Zucker Road in New City. We're listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and we are newly designated New York State Path Through History Site. Part of our broad and challenging mission is to share the history of Rockland County with the public, and we rely on financial support from membership and donations from people just like you. We're at the end of our fiscal year, and we are also at the end of our annual appeal. So if you like our program, we hope you will make a donation to help us preserve and share the history of Rockland. Visit our website at rocklandhistory.org to learn more about how you can make a tax-deductible contribution. Our phone lines will be open during the first half of the broadcast today, so please call us if you have a question or a comment. The number here is 845-362-0013. That's 845-362-0013. So I'd like to welcome Supervisor Howard Phillips to Crossroads of Rockland History. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Claire, and thank you to the Rockland County Historical Society for all the work they're doing with the town of Haverstraw on this wonderful quadricentennial celebration of 400 years. We're actually having such a wonderful time this year.
So it's quite a milestone, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You know, think about that. We are one of the oldest communities in North America. I mean, how many other townships can boast the fact that 400 years ago they were founded. We weren't founded as a town at the time. It was actually a Dutch colony, and we've been working with the Dutch consulate and Dutch government. They have been so incredibly wonderful about extending their staff to help us. As a matter of fact, at our opening of just a few weeks ago, we had one of the members of the consulate, Tessa Dekar, with us that day, and we had a great opening, and I have to thank Congresswoman Nita Lowy, our state senator, William Larkin, Assemblyman Ken Zabrowski. But I'm going to tell you who really stole the show was the superintendent of the North Rockland School District, Ileana Ecker. Her story about being first-generation immigrant to the United States, her family was in Cuba, that story should be told to every single student in America, because really it tells you how important and how unique America is. But it was a wonderful celebration. And of course, we have a whole calendar full of events this year, Claire.
So up front, perhaps you can help some of our listeners with a little bit of confusion. So in 1966, Haverstraw celebrated the tercentennial. So in fact, in our This Week in Rockland column, which we do in the Rockland Review, we featured a kickoff event which took place in February 1966. So although I'm not really a math whiz, if we add 50 years, we really get to 350. So tell us why we're celebrating 400 in 2016.
Well, first of all, let me say that Haverstraw enjoys to have a party. So I'm wondering if that was the inspiration back in 1966 for the reason of doing that. But when you look at the history of Haverstraw, really, the first supervisor, Cornelius Haring, H-A-R-I-N-G, became supervisor in 1723. Now, there was a land grant back in 1666, but, you know, I think there was confusion, you know, maybe between some of the leaders back in 1966, because when you look at Haverstraw, originally it was Dutch colony, then it became an English colony, and of course we existed before the state of New York and before the country. And then we were referred to as precincts. So when the committee got together, we all decided that, you know, look, we could have two anniversaries, but let's go with really the founding of Haverstraw, which was in 1616. And that is, there's no question there. As a matter of fact, when we reached out to the Dutch government, and I have to thank Larry Singer. Larry's been doing such an incredible job. Stephen Cobb, Alex Guarino, Paul Cleary. They were able to get from the Dutch government their map showing Haverstraw circa 1616. 16, right there in the Havistra Bay. And it's wonderful because it has Havistra written right there on the map. I guess it must have been a very safe harbor and a place where, you know, the width of the Hudson River being the widest at that point, a place where the boats could dock and come to shore very easily. So we all got together and we said to ourselves, let's go with the founding because that makes more sense than anything.
And that's really the beauty of 21st century research. Our world has become so much more interconnected thanks to the internet, the digitization of these rare documents. It really is amazing that's been made possible.
It truly is. And when you look at the fact that Havistra back then covered such an expansive area, that the towns of Clarkstown came out of Havistra, the town of Ramapo, the town of Stony Point, it's pretty amazing. Although I would like to meet the supervisor who gave up all that land, but that's for another occasion. But Claire, just think of all the events that we have coming up. Now, we celebrated the opening. We just had a wonderful exhibit at the Rockland County Historical Society, which is continuing, and I have to really thank Corinne McGeorge. She did a wonderful job, and her exhibit will eventually come to the town of Havistra. Right now at the town of Havistra, we have a fabulous exhibit of photographs dating back through the early 1900s, some of them go even earlier, of the brickyards of the downtown Havistra, which is the village of Havistra now, of it, over a beautiful photograph of what Short Clove and 9W used to look like, looking out over the Havistra Bay. It's such a beautiful area. I don't think you'll find a more perfect setting than the Havistra Bay with the mountains in the background, the Hudson Valley right there for everybody to look at. And so many famous artists have come to the Havistra, whether it was looking out over Low Tor, High Tor, and have done beautiful paintings of the area. But we're moving on till April, and we're looking at some of the things that are going to go on. We have the Historical History Walk, which George Leahy, I'll give a shout out to George. George has always done such a wonderful job. Original Havistra resident, now in Orangetown. George, we can't figure out why you made that move anyway. But he's going to have a wonderful walking tour. The we'll continue on. They'll be talking about the brick makers. We had over 40 different brickyards in the town of Havistra, along the villages of Havistra, going all the way up in and to Stony Point. As a matter of fact, on the Lynch side, my family had a brickyard down in the village of Havistra where the harbors are now next to the Doyles, and they also had one in Stony Point. And on my Freeman side, they also had a brickyard. So there's so many residents that can trace their history back to so many parts of the early Havistra formation of the town, or whether it was formation of the villages. It's really fun to talk to people about their ancestry.
And the committee that's been working on this really elaborate calendar of events that just goes throughout the year, tell us a little bit about when you started working with the committee and some of the people who've been working on it.
Well, we really began intensively last year, and of course we have Pat Gordon from the Brick Museum. Vicki Miller has been just a really go-getter for us. Corinne McGeorge. She has so many amazing talents putting together things. Of course, my staff as well. I have to thank Stephen Cobb, our town historian, Alex Guarino. But all members of my staff have been working very hard together. And we've teamed up with, say, people like Robin Rosenberg. Robin really coordinates the Garner Arts Center. She just had a wonderful exhibit there the other week. She had writers come in, the writer from Batman, and it was fascinating to listen. She had about three different writers. Just a wonderful time at the Garner Arts, and she's doing a fantastic job there. We have more events later on in the year at the Garner Arts as well, so that's great. And you know, the Garner Arts goes so many years back. They actually made uniforms for the Union Army during the Civil War. really incredible. But I'm sure I'm going to miss somebody on the committee who's been doing a great job. We're doing a clock, a commemorative clock that Councilman Papo Cancel and Councilman Vincent Gamboli are heading up. So if you want information on that, and I just want to throw out our website, www.townofhavistra.org. There's a banner on the quadricentennial. Click on that banner, and you will be able to go to all the events, all the different things that are happening. We're selling a number of commemorative items as well. The town clerk, go see Karen Bully, our town clerk. It's right there at Town Hall. You'll be able to see all of it. So there are just a ton of people. We probably have a committee of about 25 people, and I'm sure I left out key people, so my apologies in advance.
Well, we have a caller, so we're going to say hello. You're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning, Claire. Good morning, Supervisor. How are... Is Havistra actually, aren't there two, wouldn't there be two separate dates perhaps? Wasn't Havistra originally either the entire county or much larger than it is now, and then it was subdivided? Wasn't there something in the history about Rockland that has Havistra as being the entire county?
Well, it wasn't the entire county. Orangetown and Havistra were originally the two areas. Of course, okay. We were part of Orange County for a long period of time, and then Rockland County was formed. But from Havistra came the towns of Clarkstown, Ramapo, and Stony Point. But
right,
then you
okay.
had villages that sprang up, and there's a lot of confusion also because we have a village of Havistra and we have a town of Havistra. Now,
right.
many history books say that the towns formed because of location. They want a more centralized government. I mean, my family goes back a long time, and if you would have listened to what my forefathers said, my father's grandfather always used to say it was more political reasons than it was anything else, and it was always about power. But you know, the history books are written and it is what it is. But you know, you see villages formed today. Over the last 30 years, villages were formed, and they were really formed for certain reasons. And I have a feeling that maybe back then, with the invasion of immigrant groups and wanting to keep their own government, I think you'll probably find more truth in that than a centralized seat.
What do you happen to know when that I don't know what else to call it, but subdivision occurred?
Oh yes, well, all of that is in the history when the towns, all the different towns were formed. But when you look at Havistra again, you have to remember before we were a town under the English colony, we became a precinct. So there were different names for it, and then
that's the 1616. Formation?
1616 was founded by the Dutch when they put Havistra on the map and found it as a, let's say that would be the beginning of the formation of a colony, but it's the actual founding of Havistra by the Dutch.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, we actually took the Dutch flag at the consulate, send us a flag, so we have been flying that flag over town of Havistra, of course, lower than the American flag, but just, you know, for solidarity in celebrating the quadricentennial.
Yeah, no, it's a great history. I mean, I learned a lot about it a while ago, but I don't remember dates, but I did have an inkling that Havistra had been a much larger, you know, area at one time, and then subdivided into Clarkstown, and you know, and that then became the formation of what we have as Rockland today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a really interesting history.
And some of the unique things, I mean, not just the brickyards, but all the people that we've been a gateway. We've really been a melting pot community. But when you look at Havistra, not only did we play an intricate part during the Revolutionary War with Washington's troops camped here, of course, Trees and House. We know about Benedict Arnold and Andre passing the plans on. But we've produced three Medal of Honor recipients, one from the Civil War, Spanish-American War, and World War One. The flag of the 95th Regiment during the Civil War was in crucial battles. It was at Antietam, which was a bloody battle for the Union Army. It was at Fredericksburg, but it was at the defining battle of Gettysburg. We have that flag at Havistra Town Hall right now, and that is pretty special when you look at that. And there's so many other things. Even today, Havistra has the largest marina on the East Coast, the Havistra Marina, well known. But you look at what we've done along the shoreline, building different parks, really. And I'm so proud of the fact that the county has the first county waterfront park in the town of Havistra. It's a beautiful park, and they have the 9/11 memorial there. Yes.
Former supervisor, county executive, had told a story about the county, which probably involves Havistra, but it's I found it fascinating in that way back then there was a skirmish where an Indian was supposedly accidentally killed, but that it created a lot
yes.
of hostility.
And I know
that
your history. Settlers,
I just remember this story, settlers did not decided to settle on the other side of the river
right.
because it was too dangerous here. And you can look at, you know, our Westchester-Rockland analogy today that, you know, as the smaller cousin of Westchester,
yes.
you know, going back to that time when, you know, people just were afraid to settle here because of that.
Well, there's a famous story where the one family tried to escape by canoeing across the Hudson, and because of the tidal effect with the current, they couldn't get across, and they were captured by the Indians, and they were actually put to death by them. So there's some very famous stories all along
great
that shoreline.
Amazing history in this county.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, thanks for your call. We really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
So we're getting a little bit tight on time, but I just wanted to say, you know, some people will ask, why should a taxpayer money go towards a celebration like this?
Well, first of all, we're not raising any new taxes for this. And then, Claire, you open up the door for me to boast a little. You know, the New York State Comptroller's report, his stress test, we rate it better than any other town in Rockland County. Our independent audits are outstanding. And when you look at our bond rating, it's a superior bond rating. But we're not raising any new taxes. But it's so incredibly important to remember your past. Because if you don't know your past, you won't know where you're going into the future. And so many wonderful things have happened in Havistra. For instance, we are also going to have an opportunity to bring up the yacht America, which won the America's Cup back in 1851. We're going to have that at the Havistra Marina. We're going to have the schooner Pioneer there. But it's so important to realize the richness of your community and the richness of the people. You know, although we've had so many incredible things happen in Havistra, it's been the people. It's been the story of the immigrant. It's been the story of those that left their homes, whether it was Europe, whether it was South America, whether it was all parts of this world, to come to the United States. I mean, Havistra is a true representation of America. And again, I just wish we could have had our superintendent, Ileana Eckert's speech really broadcast over the airwaves to all of America, because it summed it up what it meant that when her father's business in Cuba was taken over by the government and he would go to work every single day, and all of a sudden there were soldiers in front of there and they had to leave, and they came to America. And here's a very intelligent man who wore a suit all of his life. He gets a job working in a factory, and first in Florida, then coming to New York, and, you know, never looking behind them, never looking back, only looking forward. And then his child is raised to a prominent position throughout of America, of a superintendent of a school district. It's so unique, so wonderful. But the true story are the people of Havistra.
Well, we have been working on something called Share, Listen, and Learn at the Historical Society with oral histories. So I'm going to give her a call and get that on tape, because that sounds
wonderful.
Really inspiring. So tell our listeners one more time how they can find out about the events that are coming up.
Well, please go onto our website, www.townofhavistra.org. There's a banner there. You click on that banner for the quadricentennial 400th anniversary. It will give you a list of events throughout the year. We're going to have a number of them. We're still planning. We're trying to have an end-of-year concert maybe in November or the beginning of December. We're talking with using the high school and getting a really good group in. But we've got the 4th of July fireworks. We've got Dancing Under the Stars. We've got boat exhibits with the Historical Society down to the TZ Bridge. We're going to have houses of worship. You're going to really enjoy coming to Havistra this year and taking part in so many different events.
Well, I know your schedule's incredibly busy. I thank you so much for being here on Crossroads today.
Thank you, Claire, and the Rockland County Historical Society. What a wonderful job you guys are doing.
Thanks so much. You're listening to WRCR and WRCR.com. This is Crossroads of Rockland History. I'm Claire Sheridan from the Historical Society of Rockland County. Today, we just finished speaking with Howard Phillips. It is the quadricentennial of Haverstraw this year. Our next segment was recorded earlier this week, so we won't be taking calls during the next segment of the show. So I caught up with energetic octogenarian Corinne McGeorge, who is the curator of an exhibition that will be a large part of the quadricentennial celebration. It's entitled Dutchtown and Major Andre, Highlights of Haverstraw History. The exhibition will make a few stops during the year, but is open now at the Historical Society of Rockland County. It is open now, as I said. It's on view Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays from noon to 4. Corinne McGeorge has embarked on a second career as the principal of Hudson Valley Exhibits. She prepares exhibits on local history for libraries, museums, and schools in our region. So, Corinne, how and when did you get involved in preparing exhibits about local history?
Actually, it all came about because I had been a member of the Haverstraw Brick Museum since day one. They opened the museum in 2002. And then in the month of November, we would have a veterans program and invite the local Boy Scouts to come in with the color guard and the flags and have a speaker. And then we would repeat that the following year. We did that for 3 years in a row. And so finally in 2005, I said to Pat Gordon, who was the director, I said, how about if I made some panels about World War II? Would you like that to use in conjunction with the veterans program? Absolutely. She was all for it. So that was my introduction to doing research on a computer.
So that success with that exhibition led you to a few other exhibitions.
With that veterans exhibit, I had taken all of the five wars. And then the second exhibit was on Letchworth Village. My grandson, Charlie, was going to Fieldstone School, and I would be driving up there through the grounds to all the concerts, looking at all these beautiful abandoned buildings, and wondering about it. I passed this one building that looked like there had been a fire. So I rode over to Gordon Wren, and I asked him what he knew about a fire at Letchworth. And yes, he did. He knew there was a fire at Stuart Hall. So he directed me to Ray Redman, who was the chief of the Thiel's Fire Department. So I contacted him, and yes, he had a whole disc of beautiful photographs from the fire, and the cooperation that I have gotten from people is simply extraordinary. I mean, people give me credit saying how I make this exhibit. Yes, literally I do. I do make all the panels, but I get help from all directions from everybody. So that was how Letchworth began, and it was by marvelous coincidence that when I opened this exhibit the following year in 2011, that it was the 100th anniversary of the founding of Letchworth Village. I had no idea that when I started. No idea at all. And that Fieldstone School, that had been created by joining abandoned Letchworth stone buildings. Nobody knew it up there. So the Letchworth exhibit has been up there at Fieldstone School several times. They love it. They had a page in their yearbook for it. And they feel so proud of their connection with the building.
This is really a second career for you. And a lot of retired people would rather play golf or play bridge, but you decided to learn how to research on the computer in your second career. So tell us a little bit about what that was like, learning about doing research on the computer.
Google has become a member of the family. It's a good thing, really, that I started with World War II, because you put Pearl Harbor into the search engine, the material comes pouring forth in your lap. You put Letchworth Village in there, and they sent you up to Letchworth State Park upstate, which actually was William Letchworth's home. Glen Iris was his home, see? But you ask about Letchworth Village and Thiel's, and they knew nothing, because this is 100 years ago, and records like that just were not kept. So the research that I had to do for that Letchworth exhibit, it was fascinating, but it was so time-consuming, and it was so difficult because I had to find the director of the facility would write an annual report, and he would list in there the number of residents he had and the crops they grew, because Letchworth is so fascinating. It was a self-contained community, and you got all the details in these books. Well, 100 years later, you try to find them. Oh, forget it. So, obtaining information was a creative art right in itself. I got a lot from people who have worked there, who had saved things, and everyone was fascinated with it.
Tell me about the exhibition that's currently on view at the Historical Society, which will be part of the 400th anniversary of Haverstraw, which is called Dutchtown and Major André. First, let's start to talk about Dutchtown.
I started, since, as you mentioned, I was a member of this committee, and I told them right in the beginning I would make an exhibit. So I'm thinking about Dutchtown. Now, I have lived here for 70 years. And I know Dutchtown is there, but I know nothing about it, and neither does anybody else. See, I was right at the head of the list. So I figured, well, that's a good place to start. So the first thing I did was drive down through it, through Tilcon, down Riverside Avenue, past all the houses. And it is just the community of Dutchtown. It's 40 houses along one street. They are a very close-knit community, say, and they will love it. Everyone who has grown up and moved away has such fond memories. It is just wonderful. With this Hudson Valley Exhibits group that we have, I wanted to have a general meeting of all of us so we could get together to know each other. So I sent out notices to people who had come to my previous exhibits, because I've made 7 previous exhibits, and I had all of those names. And so we have our meeting up at Town Hall this night. This was last October of 15. And I look over on the sign-in sheet, 03 Riverside Avenue. That's Dutchtown. So I went over and introduced myself to Pat Hickman. And that has been the beginning of a beautiful friendship. She is just wonderful. She came up to my house. She loves the idea of Letchworth Village. It was on exhibit up at the school. I took her up there to see the exhibit, then drove around all through the ground so she could see everything. And Pat also spread the word to the other artists that live there in Dutchtown. There's 6 right now that are exhibiting this thing in the Historical Society. 3 of them work from home. 3 of them have studios up at Garner Arts. But they are all enthusiastic, and they are all just so happy to be part of this. Dutchtown exhibit that I have, the panels that I have on Dutchtown over there, are also memories of people who grew up there. Like my niece, Carrie. She's married to my nephew, Don Kowalski, and Carrie's father, Bill Kerner, was a former town historian. Carrie went up on High Tor back in the 1980s, and she took this picture looking down from High Tor on through the houses in Dutchtown. That's a beautiful photograph. And actually, I took that photograph over to Pat McNamee, who is the fire inspector for the village of Haverstraw and works in Village Hall. So I took the photograph over there to Pat, and he drew all the identifications, who lives in this house and who lives in that house. And Carrie also gave me a newspaper clipping that my father-in-law, Harvey McGeorge, had taken the picture of a school bus. This is back in 1954. And there's all these kids, these little children, lined up in front of the school bus for the first time being able to take a school bus from Dutchtown. 1954. And all those children are identified on there, and I'm trying to track all of them down. You know, it's all detective work.
The other aspect of the exhibition is Major André.
Now, whenever we think of Major Andre, we think of Tappan and the trial down there and the hanging out there in the backyard. But the whole story started up here because the ship, the HMS Vulture, came up the Hudson. And Major Andre was rowed ashore to land at Redstone Beach, which is in Dutchtown. And he met Benedict Arnold, who was waiting there on the ground there for him, and they talked all night, see. But the whole story, the history of that whole plot of treason started here. So since this is our 400th anniversary, I wanted to bring some of that history back here to Havistraw. And, oh, I have a great exhibit. What do you think of those mannequins? 6-foot mannequins with the uniforms on, with the tricorn hat.
Tell us a little bit about what people can expect when they come to the exhibition.
Well, I think people will be surprised and pleased to see that there is artwork from these people who live in Dutchtown, and they had no idea of that. They know the community exists down there, but they have no idea that artists are making things and that are in the community here. So the things are on display. So I went to the websites of each of these artists, and I printed out the photographs of their work that they have done, and I made 3 panels. And they are in the area that was the former gift shop, so people can see that. Then I have all of the panels going around the other 3 rules about the Havistraw, and it's the beginning with the map from 1616. Isn't that fascinating? Seeing Havistraw on there, which is a Dutch word meaning wild oats. So I have a spray of, well, of course, they're not real wild oats. I got them in Michael's pot. They illustrate what the wild oats look like. Then I have information about the early inhabitants, the early Dutch that came, the Dutch families, the Huguenot families, the English families, and there was even a group in the late 1800s, of German immigrants that came in. They settled in the village. They weren't down at Dutchtown so much, but they settled in the village. They had a lot of the stores. We had Winter's Delicatessen, and yes, very well known and well lovingly remembered.
The exhibition is open at the Historical Society until May 15th, and then it's going to be going to other places. So tell us a little bit about that.
Now, it leaves, as you say, until May 15th, goes to Havistraw Town Hall. Immediately after there, I imagine we'll be there for about 2 weeks, I don't know. And then I think in June it will go to Havistraw Village Hall. And then in October I expect it to go to Havistraw Brick Museum. Actual dates have not been worked out for these things yet, because this is a very active calendar that the Havistraw 400th Committee has. Things are going on all the time, all over. July the 1st. We will be moving to the Garneval Library. I have that space there for the entire month of July. And Friday, July the 1st, and so our exhibit will go there. And what I will have, in addition to my exhibit, I also have a video from the Association of Bloorvell Descendants. I played it, and it's lovely. It just is lovely. It talks about the Dutch coming in to New York City down there by the Bowery, and then coming up the Hudson and seeing all this wild grasses and calling it Havistraw. It's a beautifully well-made, delightful video. So grateful to them. So we will show that in July at the Garneval Library, because they're already set up with the big screen and the chairs and everything.
Tell us a little bit about your support of Garner Arts Center.
They are so good to me up there. When I did the exhibit among the Minnesiango, I remember going into the office where Melissa Maurer was working there in the office, and there was a map on the wall from 1873 of the buildings of the Garneval Terminal Complex. Well, she got up on the chair to take the map down from the wall. And we put it on the table so that then I could focus in on sections of the map So then we could explain what happened in these buildings here. And then also, Alexandra Wren, who's Gordon Wren's daughter, she is a commercial photographer. And she went up there and she took a series of photographs that are beautiful. I'll tell you, the artist sees things differently than thee and me. Her pictures of those buildings were lovely. They have been very cooperative up there. Robin has spoken at several of my programs. That was a very popular exhibit along the Minnesiongo because it talked about the Carnival Terminal and the Pecks and the Peck Railroad and Peck Stock and the Brickyards. Ah, I love them all.
What's next up for you, Corinne? What's going to be your next project?
Actually, I do have something coming up very shortly. Back in the 1940s and 50s, there was a celebration in Haverstraw called the Festa di Monte Vigini. And this was an Italian festival that took place in a chapel on Warren Avenue, which is off Broadway just before you get to St. Peter's Church. The small chapel is still there. There's no longer any big festivals going on. But at that time, it was a very popular thing. And the woman who is the source of information about it, her name is Rita DiCarlo. She is a woman of 93 years with a memory like a steel trap. She remembers everything, people, places, dates, everything. She is incredible. So she has spoken at several of my exhibits where this is featured. This is in Looking Back at Yesterday. And made arrangements to take a video of Rita down there at the chapel. And they're doing the video up at the high school. And Ileana Eckert assures me that as soon as Rita is ready to go, so are they. So that is our immediate next project. But there's plenty more in the wings down there.
Well, that sounds very interesting. So I hope when that gets finished, we'll speak to you again about it, because I know people will be very interested in that.
I'll let you know when it's finished and when that can be shown somewhere.
I hope I have half of your energy when I grow up, Corinne. Thank you so much for being here today and for telling us about Dutchtown and Major Andre and all of your successes with Hudson Valley Exhibits. That's all the time we have for today. I thank Supervisor Howard Phillips for joining me earlier, and thanks to Corinne McGeorge for her participation as well. Remember, a listing of everything we talked about, as well as a recording of this broadcast, will be on our website at rocklandhistory.org. And I hope you will tune in to the next Crossroads of Rockland History on Monday, April 18th, right after the Steve and Jordan Show at 10:10 a.m. My guest will be Alice Girard, the historian for the Village of Palisades. Ms. Girard is a published author and has just completed a massive project of transcribing the entire diary of Nicholas Gesner. And we'll speak to her about this interesting history of Palisades and this latest project. I hope you will tune in. That's April 18th. As a program note, back in August, as part of our episode about the John Green House, we featured a new documentary entitled This House Matters. This film has been completed, and the filmmaker will be premiering the film on April 7th at the Nyack Library. The Historical Society is pleased to be a co-presenter of the film, and after the screening, there will be a panel discussion with notable specialists on historic preservation. To learn more about this event and all of our upcoming events and programs, do visit our website at rocklandhistory.org, and of course, you can call us anytime at 845-634-9629. That's rocklandhistory.org. Or 845-634-9629. A great way to keep up with what's happening is to follow us on Facebook. We also tweet regularly, and you can find us on Tumblr through Crossroads of Rockland History's blog. And don't forget that many of our broadcasts are archived at rocklandhistory.org. Just go to the landing page and type radio programs in the search box. I'm Claire Sheridan. Thanks for listening to Crossroads of Rockland History on WRCR and WRCR.com.